This is the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
We talk about like the right and the obligation of the immigrant.
These aren't just businesses. They're a very important part of the experience of being American and Chinese at the same time.
I just got told, well, I'm not going to go to college. They don't take immigrant people.
They were raised and taught that it was so taboo to be out. Here in the States, they are able to express it or show it.
Once they're inside, it's like they're transported back to Manila, to Philippines, in their own favorite Jollibee store.
Feet in Two Worlds, telling the stories of today's immigrants.
Am I white enough? It's a question that runs through Caribbean, African, and South Asian immigrant communities. For some, the answer is to bleach their skin.
You know, if you Google beautiful woman, you will, in Google Images, you will see a litany of pictures of women with very light skin and very straight hair. And this is an unrealistic ideal, of course, for white women, but especially for women who have browner skin and kinkier hair.
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. In this podcast, we discuss the process of skin bleaching in immigrant communities and the reasons why people do it. With me in the studio is New School graduate student Christina Berthaud. Welcome to the podcast, Christina.
Hey, John. Thank you for having me.
So, Christina, skin bleaching. I know Michael Jackson lightened his skin for many years, but exactly how widespread is this practice?
Skin bleaching is often associated with movie stars, athletes, and music artists. Sammy Sosa, we know, has lightened his skin. And it is also rumored that Nicki Minaj and Rihanna have done it. It is widely practiced in immigrant communities of color, and it's so popular that it's found its way into music.
Boy, true bush, you want to tell the girl them about browning. All of the girl them around go and shop go bleach, cause them want brown skin. All of the girl them. And them a bleach, them a bleach out them skin, them a bleach, fi look like a browning, them a bleach.
That clip is from a song titled Them a Bleach, released in 1992 by dancehall artist Nardo Rinks. In the song, he honors women who do not bleach their skin to look like a browning. A browning is Jamaican slang for a woman of fairer or lighter skin. But on the other side, there are more recent artists like Vybz Kartel, who's making music boasting about bleaching and lightening his skin. In the song, Kartel states, "Cool like I wash my face with the cake soap." Cake soap is a product originally used for laundry. It's a laundry detergent which contains bleach, but people are starting to use it to lighten their skin.
Christina, where do people go to bleach their skin and how do they do it?
There are a number of products that are made for this purpose, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But a lot of people do this at home with cleaning products that are definitely not intended to be used on the human skin. I went to a hair salon in Brooklyn that has a lot of Caribbean customers to find out what the people who work there and their clients know about skin bleaching. It's a very touchy subject, so people do not want to include their names. One woman, a native of Jamaica, gave me some details on the homemade concoctions that they use to bleach.
So everybody goes out now and watch cakes and buy cake soap. Along with buying cake soap, they buy something called Blue. Blue is a detergent powder that is number one for white clothes. Give it 10 minutes top, and whatever stain you had, the Blue takes it out. And what people are doing is that they're using the cake soap along with the Blue, crushing the Blue, peeling or grating the cake soap, and meshing it up together as one, and putting on as their face, their body, as face mask.
No one I spoke to at the salon would admit that they bleach their skin, but I could tell that some of them do.
And how could you tell?
Well, you can see the clear discoloration in the face versus the rest of the body. Like around the ears or even in their knuckles would be the darker pigment that they were supposed to be as opposed to the lighter pigment that the bleach has created. I did speak to one employee who said she understands why some people do it.
I don't like it because it damages pigmentation and it leads to cancer. They use Clorox, bleach, perm. I don't think it's good. But a lot of people feel that light skin, especially in the Caribbean, that light skin, people get more attention.
Christina, you were able to find one person who was willing to admit to bleaching their skin. Tell us about this person.
Well, the first thing is that this person is a man. Many people associate skin bleaching with a female process or something a woman would do. but men do it too. The man that I spoke to asked that I not use his name, but I could tell that he was educated and in his 20s. He grew up in Jamaica, but now lives in New York, and he told me that it was in his teenage days in high school that he often bleached his skin.
First, he washed the face. I used to use a Neutrogena scrub, wash the face first, and then you take a little bit of, I think it's an Ambi lotion for skin, and then I take the medication. I can't remember what the medication was called that used to lighten the skin tone, but I'd mix in the medication with the Ambi skin lotion, and then I'd rub it into the skin, and then afterwards, I'd take a greater portion of the lotion and a smaller portion of the bleaching cream, and then make a mask for the face and just leave that on the surface overnight while I slept. And then I put on a do-rag on the pillow so it never mess up the pillow if I roll and turn. But that used to happen about every other night during the week. And if it looked like I lightened too much, then I'd stop for about a week and then start another week after.
Why did the man you spoke to feel that he needed to bleach his skin?
When I asked him, he told me that it made him feel better. It looked better to him, and that women gave him a better vibe, that women paid him more attention when his face started to lighten up.
So for him, it was a social thing mainly.
Yes.
Now, he said he used a prescribed medication.
Correct. But there are also products that you can buy over the counter, like Topiclear, E-Dull, Maxi-Light, Extreme Bright, and many more. You can find them in beauty supply stores, mainly in black neighborhoods.
This doesn't sound like a process that's good for your health. Are there side effects from skin bleaching?
In my research, I came across a comment from an African doctor in the British Medical Journal stating that many middle-aged people who use bleaching creams for many years, that the area around the eye starts to darken with irregular margins, creating what he called the bleaching panda effect. The skin in this area stops responding to the bleaching effect, leaving the user to look like a panda with dark rings around their eyes and against the light complexion of the rest of their face.
So if there are possible long-term health effects and permanent disfiguring of the skin, why do people do it?
Well, John, that's a complicated question, and it isn't one that's been studied very widely. But it has to do with race, class, and power. For example, in many Caribbean countries, including Haiti, where my family is from, the political and economic leaders often have a lighter skin, while darker-skinned people are at the bottom of the economic and political scale. I spoke to Robin Hayes, a professor here at the New School. She says poor people may bleach their skin because they think it will make them more successful.
People who have been excluded from educational opportunities, who do not have access to family wealth, use themselves, their physical bodies, in ways to try to make it. And I think that thinking about your personal aesthetics, whether it's how you present yourself in terms of your dress, how you can make yourself more fit, or how you can have different hair, different skin, trying to compensate for the scarcity that you may find yourself born into.
Christina, you said that in many Caribbean countries, the people with economic and political power often have lighter skin. What about here in the U.S.? Why do some immigrants with dark skin feel that they need to look whiter?
I think there are probably lots of different reasons. People bring their habits from their home country with them. Skin bleaching also is done by African Americans, like you mentioned, you know, Michael Jackson earlier. Robin Hayes also did say that the media reinforces this idea that white or light skin is better.
If you look at any fashion magazine, if you look at any television program, any film, all of the ways in which we learn about what is beautiful. We are bombarded, and everyone is bombarded, with representations of beauty that are unrealistic, and representations of feminine beauty in particular that show lighter skin as being more attractive, more human, more lovable. The norm that we have established as an international society of assigning beauty to certain characteristics, and by inference, ugliness to other characteristics, is where I think this idea or this aspiration to lighter skin comes from.
Are there conversations going on in immigrant communities and communities of color about this? Are people willing to discuss this in any way and to analyze why it happens or even why they do it themselves?
Yes, I've heard some conversations about it. You know, people don't want to admit to doing it because they feel it is in some way shameful. But it's also been in the media. Tyra Banks had a show perhaps a year or two ago, and she had an episode completely dedicated to the act of skin bleaching, where she questioned a panel of women as to why they do it. They feel that it's necessary. A lot of people, you know, shy away from talking about it because it's very touchy, but people are aware that this is happening in their communities.
So there's maybe the beginnings of a conversation about it.
Yes.
Well, Christina, I want to thank you for bringing this story to the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Christina Berthaud is a graduate student in media management. She reported this story as part of the Feet in Two Worlds journalism course at the New School. Our engineers are Tarek Fuda and Jocelyn Gonzalez. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the support tab in the upper right-hand corner. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.